Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buehr.
And I'm GopherDigest.com publisher Ryan Burns, and we welcome you back to another episode as we are going to preview the Illinois Fighting Illini tonight. Luke, how are you feeling about the game that's just less than 48 hours away now?
Oh, yeah, that's a great question. In terms of the game, it's going to be cold. That's how I kind of feel. It's going to be cold because it's going to be outside and this fall has turned into winterish temperatures. It'll be cold. But as the actual game goes, I like the Gophers' chances. I really do. I think they've got a shot to pull this one out. And quite frankly, they need to win a ball game.
They do. And it is going to be nice. I like the cold. I'm one of those guys. So a nice 29-degree day is being forecasted for Saturday. Around 11 o'clock, some north wind, so bring your hats, make sure the kids got their gloves, and maybe a couple of hand warmers and toe warmers is from someone who has sat in a tree stand for many, many hours on end. Toe warmers and hand warmers are probably the most important thing besides covering your head you can do if you want to stay a little bit longer in the game and not have to go up to the concourse and get warmer. So, again, this is your warming advice with Ryan Burns, and that's why everyone gets to subscribe. This podcast, but from the front row of the press box, I can tell you there's about a 20-degree difference between the first row and the second row, so I'm going to bring some mittens. Actually, I'll bring my choppers and try to type through those and bring a nice hat. We'll be just okay, so hopefully this Minnesota team with a bunch of Midwest guys embraces the cold and gets back on track against the Fighting Illini.
Yeah, definitely. Let's start and talk a little bit about the injury report. It's been a major feature of the game preview podcast going forward this season. It's actually probably been the number one thing we've talked about. So, Ryan, I know the depth chart was released tonight, and we both know that the depth chart is basically meaningless in some ways, but who's going to be out for sure this week?
Let's see. I'm trying to count the amount of names. I believe we have 11 confirmed out of the 85 scholarship players. So again,
that's a step up from the, I think, 13 last week.
Yeah. So, you know, baby steps here as we try to close out the 2015 season. But again, there's not a whole lot new. Jalen Merrick's out. Ace Rogers is out. Demaryius Travis is out. Minnesota does get Eric Carter back once again. Jeff Jones is out, and for those wondering, so I can just alleviate the Twitter questions now, I do not anticipate Jeff Jones stepping on the actual game field for the rest of the season. It is what it is. So Jeff Jones is out. Craig James is out with a broken leg. Rodney Smith is probable for the game, so that's very good after missing last week with, I believe it was an ankle injury. He is probable and has practiced this week, so that bodes well for Minnesota's Thunder and Lightning duo of Rodney Smith and Shannon Brooks. Campion, Bobek, Isaac Hayes are all out. I believe all three have concussions. Ben Lauer is out with a plethora of injuries that he is dealing with. Plesiak's out with his back injury. Steven Richardson is listed as questionable, but sources have told me to expect Richardson actually plays a significant amount of snaps, barring that he can get his calf warm in warm-ups on Saturday morning in that 20-degree temperature. That's going to be nice and nice and chilly for him. So while Minnesota is expected to get Steven Richardson back, Scott Epke is listed as out as well. So getting Steven Richardson back, Luke, is just a huge boost to this interior of the defensive line that was absolutely just torn apart against Iowa for, I think it was 280-something yards and 5 rushing touchdowns. So getting a guy like Steven Richardson back, who had been playing at an all-Big Ten level, is huge for this Gopher team.
Yeah, not to mention just from a depth perspective, even just one body will help keep some guys fresh, because we know that the Gophers like to rotate their defensive line quite frequently. So that'll definitely help in this game against Illinois.
Yeah, and another thing I want to note about the depth chart is that Joe Bjorklund is now listed as the starting right guard over Connor Mays, and John Christensen is listed as the starting left guard. You'll notice that as that was a change that was made during the Iowa game, as Bjorklund slid over to right guard and I believe played the majority of the game there. As I don't know if Connor Mays is dealing with an injury if he was just benched, but regardless, Bjorklund and Christensen at guard was a good combo for Minnesota, as they put 35 points on the board. So Minnesota's going to try to go back to that well there, as long as both guys can stay healthy with those knee injuries. And as you know, noted about the defensive tackles, I will pass along one note. Gopher Digest members knew this earlier in the week. I think it was on Monday or Tuesday when I did the mailbag. But from what I've been told in recent days, it sounds like Gary Moore, he was a true freshman that had to play because of all the significant injuries on the defensive line last year, who was taking a redshirt year. He's the Alabama defensive tackle there. The word is he's been lighting it up in practice. I know that the Gopher coaching staff has been very excited about that development. He's progressed a little bit better than what they thought he was going to do this year. So, I mean, you look at this 2016 defensive tackle situation, you have Steven Richardson, Scott Epke once again, Andrew Stelter comes back another year. You throw in Gary Moore, and then it looks like Minnesota's going to also sign a JUCO defensive tackle. So it goes from being, you know, one of the weaknesses because of injury to one of the absolute strengths of this Gopher team. So it's a definite exciting development, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely want to have want to be strong in your front seven, and if Moore is lighting it up like you say, it'll definitely add some firepower to a typically strong defense. But hopefully they can build on previous years, even though they've had a little bit of a falter these last couple of games.
Yeah. So again, you know, there's only place to go up to this Gopher defense after last week's 500 total yards and 40 point outing. I mean, I think anybody on the team will tell you they were, you know, a little bit embarrassed about the performance. It is what it was. And, you know, some players have to step up and play better this weekend. And, you know, it starts, you know, on the defensive line, they have to get some pressure. So, and especially in the defensive backfield, they have to figure some things out. I know Demarius is out, Ace is out, and Kunle is giving all he's got, but it just wasn't enough against Iowa, and he was picked on repeatedly. So, you know, we'll have to see how their things transition into the game this weekend.
All right. Before we get into this preview for Illinois, let's talk a little bit about any recruiting updates you might have to pass along.
Yeah. So recording this Thursday night, Minnesota extended their first tight end offer. And I can't even think how many months it's been, but they extended it to a Nixa, Missouri tight end, Chase Allen, who picked up an Illinois offer earlier in the day. So Chase is one of the, you know, the fastest rising prospects in all the Midwest, as he was a basketball player up until about 2 months ago when he decided that he wanted to give up the dream and he wanted to focus on football, as he thought he had a higher ceiling there. And I would definitely agree with him. He's 6'7", 240-pound redhead. Who does that sound a lot like for all you Gopher fans out there? Max with Mr. Max Williams. He's a very good athlete. His father was actually the Missouri State head football coach when Kill and his staff were at Southern Illinois, so both staffs are very familiar with one another. So, you know, hopefully Minnesota has the quote-unquote in there with one of the fastest rising guys in all the Midwest. I know Chase is very excited about the offer, and it's tentatively set up to visit the first weekend of December, so shortly after Thanksgiving. And I know the Gophers would love to get him locked down after that, but I think they're going to have even more competition for Chase as his word gets out about him. Word, you know, I broke last night that Mississippi State offered JUCO offensive line commit Vincent Calhoun. And, you know, he told me at the time that he was potentially looking at taking an official visit. Well, I got news tonight, some more updated news from both his father and from Vince himself. And, you know, I think fans are going to be very excited about those recent developments. But you can read those on Gopher Digest for all the subscribers out there. But, you know, we're kind of in a holding pattern as the staff tries to figure out some more things. Especially on the defensive line recruiting. They did offer Iowa Western Junior College defensive tackle Merrick Jackson yesterday, and that's one I think fans should certainly keep an eye on. Iowa Western is a school that has been very good to Minnesota in recent years. They gave Minnesota got Cody Pope from there in 2014, obviously the Gophers starting linebacker, one of the leading tacklers on the team. And then Ace Rogers last year, who would have been a significant contributor at safety. Two for two out of Iowa Western, and Merrick Jackson is someone that the Iowa Western staff is very high on, and I know that Minnesota respects that staff down there immensely, and it's hard to blame them after they've given the Gophers two very good players on defense. Merrick is a kid who came in out of high school, had numerous Big Ten and SEC offers, went to junior colleges. He didn't quite have the grades, and he's really flourished. He came in at 340 pounds, but he tells me that in recent games, he's been playing at 305. So he's 6'2", 305 pounds. I definitely think he's a one-tech, three-tech kid. He's one. He's very, you know, when I was watching his film, he's a lot like Steven Richardson in some aspects, where I think he's extremely strong, and it's just, it's natural strength. And it doesn't look like, you know, he's, you know, just looks like the Rock out there, but he's just a very strong football player. He understands leverage. I mean, he's got a motor that doesn't quit. So, you know, he's very excited. Merrick is about this Minnesota offer. He's also got offers from Iowa State, Illinois, amongst others. And he's a December graduate kid. So, you know, Minnesota's in a very, very good position for Merrick at this time. They got to work on scheduling an official visit here soon. But especially with the way Iowa Western has been to Minnesota in recent years, you know, I feel pretty good about the situation, Luke.
All right, let's talk a little bit about this Illinois game that's coming up. Illinois is a 5-5 football team. They are currently, let me see, what are they in the Big Ten? I'm trying to figure this out. Sorry, they're 2-4. So very, very similar to Minnesota, but you know they're sitting at 500 right now. Statistically speaking, you know these two teams are quite similar. Illinois averages 23.5 points a game. Minnesota averaged 21.8. In terms of total yardage, they're basically even. Both offensively yards gained and then defensively yards given up. So, you know, pretty similar teams on paper. But I still think that, you know, Minnesota definitely has a bit of an advantage playing at home. And they are currently currently favored by 4.5 points as we sit here tonight on Thursday.
Yeah, that's a line that's been very interesting to watch as the week has moved on, because I believe it opened at 7.5, and it's already all the way down to 4 already, meaning there's a lot of money coming in on Fighting Illini. You know, I just don't see it, especially with – it looks like their starting running back, Keyshawn Vaughn, is going to be out for the game with a concussion. He's their leading rusher with 661 yards and 6 touchdowns. And it's just where – the Illini have weaknesses, Minnesota has strengths. And that goes for offense versus defense and defense versus offense. You look at, I know that, you know, we're going to talk about keys of the game, but I'm just going to get into it now. I think the number one key to Minnesota getting a victory on Saturday is they have to establish the run. Minnesota has been very Jekyll and Hyde in the Big Ten in terms of establishing a running game. They'll go from Northwestern, where they can't establish the run at all, to Purdue, where they run all over them. to Nebraska where they can't establish it again. You know, some of that's game flow, but then they come back against Michigan, who's only averaging 61 or 63 yards a game against them, and they ran for 135. And they go to Ohio State, they can't do much, and then they did well against the Hawkeyes. So you just don't know which Gopher rushing attack you're going to get. And I think if they're going to pull off a victory, it has to be the good Minnesota. And it's a good thing that Illinois is one of the worst teams in the Big Ten against the run. They're giving up in Big Ten play over 180 yards a game on the ground and 1.3 rushing touchdowns per game, which is fourth worst in the Big Ten. So, again, for a place where Minnesota really wants to start to get going again, especially with Rodney Smith coming back, Luke, I think this is going to be a get-right game if the Gophers are going to have success on Saturday.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Illinois plays this. Like you said, you know, they've struggled a little bit defending the run. But, you know, recently Minnesota's had, you know, some pretty good success throwing, you know, the short intermediate game, something that we've seen Mitch Leidner be a little bit more successful at now here in the later part of the season than he was earlier in the year. So it'll be interesting to see if they want to try and take that away or if they'll focus and stack the box and dare him to beat him with the pass.
Yeah, and I mean, that's going to be definitely one of the keys one of the interesting things to follow as that game goes on is what the Illinois, you know, the Illini want to take away. Are they going to try to take away Mitch Leidner? And I'm laughing. Did you think 5 games ago, just or even just coming out of non-conference play, Luke, you were going to be having a serious conversation later in the year that our team's going to focus on taking Mitch Leidner away or the running game?
Yeah, you know. I don't know. I've been firmly on Leidner Island, you know, all year, the whole time. So
That's been me and JG the whole time.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, anyways. You got to make a serious face here. But, I mean, seriously, are they going to take away Mitch Leidner, or are they going to let these Gopher running backs, you know, try to beat them? Are they going to stack the box, as you said, with 8 or 9 guys and make Mitch Leidner beat you, which he's, you know, showing he's got the capability to in recent games? Or are they going to put 6 and 7 in the box and say, okay, offensive line that's been banged up the entire year, beat our stout front 7, and then we're going to see how we'll adjust from there? Again, I'm very interested to see how the first quarter goes. Again, Minnesota has been god-awful in the first quarter, being outscored, I believe it's 61-20. So, I mean, again, if Minnesota can keep this thing tied or close, or heaven forbid they're winning, I mean, that's going to be a huge indicator of how this day is probably going to go for the Gophers, because usually as the day goes on, they get more and more settled and things go a lot smoother for the Gophers. But again, that's going to be something to follow. Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, they struggled in the early part of games. You know, against Iowa, they had some reasonable success, maybe not the first couple drives, but, you know, they had some reasonable success in the first quarter. You know, matching Iowa kind of stride for stride there. So that was definitely a strength of Iowa's, was getting these fast starts, and Minnesota was able to match them. Unfortunately, you know, their defense is really what kind of let them down in that game. The Gophers definitely, you know, scoring 35 points against Iowa is enough that it should keep you, if not win you, that ball game. So to me, the real key to this game is how they're able to defend and how this defense is going to be able to bounce back.
Yeah, I mean, one more point about the offense is, are you going to see a creative Matt Leingrover again? I, you know, JG had a fantastic interview, which I'm so glad Luke brought up. So, again, I thank you for that. But JG talked with Jim Zabrowski following the Iowa game, and while it wasn't said verbatim, it was very, very strongly implied that Kill was one of the reasons for all the good he did at Minnesota, that he was also one of the sticklers that didn't allow this staff to be very creative on the offensive side of the ball. And, you know, Zabrowski touched on now that Kill's gone, they have different guys on staff that are able to bring up these creative ideas to Matt Leingrover and Tracy Glaze. And both guys are saying, yeah, let's go for it. And I think, I forget what Clay said verbatim earlier this week about this specific thing, but, you know, he's like, I told Matt, I don't want to bring that play on the, you know, on the plane home with me, so you better use it.
Right.
So again, there's creativity flowing in this Gopher offense, which is so, you know, it's providing a revitalization for this offense with all the different play calls they're now allowed to do. I mean, when was the last time you saw a successful half-back pass from a Minnesota offense? Heaven forbid under Jerry Kill.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't think it's ever happened, has it?
Well, I obviously have no recollection. I mean, the halfback pass is obviously a staple of flag football. Growing up, you have the flag football kid. You have the best kid. You pitch it to him. He runs right and throws a pass deep to the guy on the left side of the field. But outside of that, I mean, it's been a while since I've seen the halfback pass.
Yeah, and for Minnesota to even have the kahunas to pull that off, especially in that kind of a situation in the second half against the number 5 Iowa team, kudos to them. So, I hope that creativity keeps coming out on Saturday. But to your point back on the defense, I absolutely agree. It's just you had a couple of linebackers in Cody Polk and Devondre Campbell. One was trying to do too much, and one was thinking way too hard on his feet. And, he wasn't playing wasn't playing. He was thinking, and there's a huge difference between the two.
Right.
And then Kuhnlei he just didn't play well. It is what it is. What are you going to see against this Illinois team? Well, you're going to see basically the exact opposite of what you saw last week in a zone power running game the Hawkeyes like to run. Now you get to face a passing attack of Illinois that is, let me look at the stats here, but they are, I believe, dead last in rushing attempts, tied for last in rushing touchdowns, and I think second to last in rushing yards, and throwing the fact that they're going to be without their leading rusher. I'm expecting them to potentially throw the ball 45 or 50 times on a very cold day in Minneapolis. The Illini are already leading the conference with 41 passing attempts per game in Big Ten play. So, they're also a team that's been devastated with injuries at the skill positions on offense. So you're probably going to see a lot of drops from these Illini receivers. And now, that's just okay with me, especially as Minnesota's trying to get bowl eligible still. The one thing about Wes Lunt that could really bode well for Minnesota is that he's not a mobile quarterback at all.
Sure.
He's far from that. And if Minnesota is able to get a resemblance of pressure, I don't know what they have to do, whatever, play calls or defensive stunt schemes that Jeff Phelps and Jay Saville have to call. It could be very good as, these Gopher corners specifically, and Brian Body Calhoun and Eric Murray haven't really had a chance to show how well they've been playing because the lack of pressure is making them defend for 5 or 6 seconds. Whereas if the Gophers can get a pass rush and force some bad passes out of Lunt and get some 50-50 balls for these defensive backs, I think they actually can make a play.
Yeah.
But again, I just think getting pressure on Wes Lunt from this Gopher front seven is going to be a huge key to determining who wins this ball game. I mean, would you agree?
Yeah, I think there's that. I think the Minnesota can't play from behind very much. We stated with Derek on the breakdown this last week is they've played from behind so often this year that they haven't had an opportunity, to ratchet up some of that pressure and maybe take some risks on defense. And additionally, that defense kind of in some ways needs to take those risks to be able to get the pressure that you're talking about. And the other thing is if you can get them, if you can get ahead, you can maybe make them a little bit more one-dimensional, which will allow you to, not have to guess and play your keys as much, but actually just pin your ears back and try to get pressure.
Yep. And, Stephen Richardson coming back is going to be huge.
That'll help. Yep. That'll
yeah.
Help.
If he's anywhere near 100% or even 80%, him getting pressure on the interior part of that offensive line, especially knowing that Lund's not going to really scramble anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
As I say that, he's probably going to break off like a 35-yard awkward dad running quarterback scramble that's
right.
Going to look so not graceful. But, hopefully that's not the case. But it's just going to be very interesting to see. Maybe this is the game that Minnesota gets 3 or 4 sacks and not just coverage sacks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so,
yeah. It will be interesting to see if they can get pressure. Like you said, that's been a struggle all year, for sure.
And then another thing, I think Minnesota is going to have some big plays. I think we talk about this every freaking week.
Yeah.
But again, if you're on a four-game losing streak, you're at home against a 5-5 team that's also trying to become bowl eligible. You're going to have to win the big play battle. There's mm-hmm. no doubt about that. There were too many times, you know, the 51-yard touchdown run to seal things last week, even though Cody Pope was bear-hugged and got care-bared, Build-A-Bear workshopped, or whatever you want to call it. It is what it is. But it's just, they have to win the big play just battle. I mean, maybe that's Shannon Brooks busting a couple, Rodney Smith. Maybe Minnesota hits a play action to KJ May or Rashad Still. Or heaven forbid we get a couple interceptions finally, because regression of the mean is really cool, especially if we get any kind of resemblance of pressure from our front seven.
Right.
You know, maybe this is the game where Keontae Harden gets his first career interception, or Antonio Johnson makes an appearance, or Brian Body Calhoun returns to his big play form of 2014. It's just, I think that that's going to be a key, especially, you know, turnovers in your own territory, not giving our defense a short field. I mean, would you agree?
Yeah, I think additionally to add to that, you know, especially with the conditions, you know, playing good special teams is going to be vital. Field position, I don't know what the wind's supposed to be like on Saturday, but, you know, the Vikings recently have had to battle the wind situation in TCF Bank Stadium. So, you know, field position and taking advantage of your opportunities might be crucial on Saturday. And special teams play a big part in that. And, you know, in the recent history, they've been pretty successful in, you know, like the kick return game. It's about time that they, you know, reel one off for either a touchdown or like some sort of long yardage at least. It just feels like forever since that's happened.
You know what? Hopefully, you know, again, Minnesota regresses back to the mean here and they figure something out. But
yeah,
I don't know. I have a feel, you know, again, the Sharks from Vegas are on Illinois. To some degree, but the line has really stabled out here in recent days. Minnesota's a 4.5-point favorite. I think the over-under for the game is 47, meaning I believe they're predicting somewhere in a, you know, 27, 23, 24, 20 victory for Minnesota. You know, Luke, what do you think is going to be happening? You know, are we going to be a very happy Gopher duo 2-3 Saturday afternoon, or are we going to be sitting here thinking, five-game losing streak heading into the Axe. Great.
Yeah. So I'm going to stick to my preseason prediction. I'm going to pick Minnesota to win. I think that they find a way to pull it out. I'm not really sure how it's going to be done yet. Like I said, I think they have to do well in the field position game, and they probably have to be able to run the ball a little bit. And like you said, they got to have a few big plays. And probably most importantly, the defense really has to show up a little bit better than they have recently. So I'm gonna predict a 27-23 victory for the Gophers.
That's respectful. I'm in the, you know, I'll release my preview article tomorrow, detailing on all these different things and the keys of the game and things to look for. But I'm with you. I think Minnesota does win. I think it's 24-20 at home. I think this is a get right game for this Gopher rushing offense, and it's going to be nice to see Leidner only throw it 25, 28 times, even though, again, we know he's capable of it, but,
right.
You know, I think Rodney Smith and Shannon Brooks, especially in the cold, you know, I'm very excited to see Shannon work against these Illini defenders in 20 something degree temperatures with his physical and aggressive running style. Cause who wants to get just tackled when it's 20 degrees out and the guy is trying to lay the wood to you? No one is trying to get any part of that. I think Shannon Brooks in the second half is just going to be fun to watch. I think one of the Gopher running backs will break off at least a 35-yard touchdown run. I think this defense starts to figure some things out. I think that if they can get any resemblance of pressure, I think that these Gopher defensive backs can finally start having some big days. I know that there's a lot of critics of this secondary, and I just don't understand that considering Demarius is out, Ace is out, Jalen's out, and Craig is out. So for those playing bingo at home, that is four of your top seven defensive backs. So it's just not the same crew. And again, defensive backs look so much better when there's any resemblance of pressure. Minnesota has not had a lick of pressure this entire season. So, I mean, you look, if they had, again, this is wishful thinking, and you can say this about a lot of things, but if they had something like Alabama's front four, you know, these defensive backs would be having so many more luxuries, knowing that they only have to defend for 2.5 seconds, and they can really start looking for the ball more, not having to stick on their man 6-7 seconds downfield as he's, you know, breaking out of his route, going on a hot route somewhere and ad-libbing. So I think this is a get-right game for the Gopher offense. I think the addition of Steve Richardson back to the lineup is going to be huge. I don't think the Illinois team can run the ball at all. I think they're going to be forced to pass. Minnesota's going to sit back and nickel. So expect to see a lot of true freshman Keontae Harden out there, along with Boddy and Murray in their corner. So
yeah,
I just think that, you know, maybe this is also the day that Minnesota returns a kickoff farther than like 10 yards, considering Minnesota is last in the Big Ten in kickoff return average in Big Ten play, and I believe just the entire regular season, which is just a far cry from last year. I'd love to talk with Derek and you about this, considering you don't know what the protection schemes are on kickoff return. Maybe it's the lack of bodies. Many of the starters are forced to be playing on special teams because Minnesota doesn't want to burn red shirts, but maybe this is the game Minnesota has a decent kick return, or, Keontae breaks one on a punt return. So big plays, offense gets right, defense going against a passing offense, which theoretically should bode well for Minnesota. I think this is a very good game for Minnesota, and they sneak one out at home heading into Axe Week, where I think many fans are still going to be, you know, excited to potentially ruin Wisconsin's season and get bowl eligible at the same time. So it should be a good one.
Definitely. So it'll be fun to watch as usual. We want to thank everyone again for listening. If you can go ahead and rate this podcast on iTunes or maybe even leave a comment, we'd appreciate it. Additionally, check out Ryan's work on Gopher Digest. He does a good job covering recruiting, in-game analysis, and all that. So, again, we thank you for listening, and go Gophers.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card. The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.